Dharma, David.
Well, I started off really well, right?
What?
I started off really well.
Yeah, no, you did. You're doing great so far. Yeah, we could. We could, you know, edit if we need to. But
cut it out.
But look, it's always good to be back. It's always good to, you know, be able to chop it up with I think folks who are really putting on and changing the culture and also like giving the culture platform. I think that's, you know, Tara, this is this week is particularly, you know, in your wheelhouse.
It is.
Given
indeed
our esteemed
guest. In my
guest.
Direct.
Yeah. So, you know, our guest is, I took some notes. This is actually the first interview I ever took notes for.
Yeah, really? And Kevin always does the intros. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But
well, flatter me.
Well, no,
good at it. So
first of all, the vehicle in the space, we have the VP and editor in chief of DJ Booth in DJBooth.com.
Net.
Sorry, net. My bad.
Yeah,
my bad.
Okay.
Thank you. And you know, you have a great bio, but you've been doing this for a long time, and I mean, we're going to get into a lot of things, but consistently over, you know, I mean, a decade plus in,
yeah,
have been going in depth with some of our favorite artists, putting on for folks who introducing us to folks we need to but have never heard of perhaps, and really just an advocate for the form, for the greatest culture in the history of person kind. You know, you put on for hip hop on the regular, and so thank you so much for being in the Corner Store. We
thank
have
you.
I'm going to call
Woo!
You Z.
Please
yeah.
do.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, please do. Everybody but my wife and my mother call
okay.
me Z.
All right, well, good. Well, I'm glad I could be on that other side. Yeah. But, yo, thank you so much for being with us, man.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for having me. Tara, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
It's good to see you again.
Good to have you. I feel like I've...
Yes.
Did you come talk to my class?
I did, yes.
Okay, so I've met you twice before this.
This is the third time we've been in person with one another. We've exchanged considerable number of emails and Slack chats.
Yeah.
We'll give
yeah.
it in full disclosure because you guys have a professional relationship.
We do.
Yeah. My platform, DJ Booth, has been blessed to have Tara write for us so her byline can be read on our pages. She's actually the brains and the mouthpiece behind Under 1K, which is our artist discovery series. So it is a series that essentially allows for artists who have under 1,000 SoundCloud followers the chance to be seen and heard. You know, we operate in this industry now where, unfortunately, talent is most closely aligned with who has the most likes and who has the most followers, who has the most streams. And that's a misnomer. Some of the most talented artists in this industry don't have those large numbers. And so this series that she pens gives these very deserving artists this platform. It is one of our most popular series.
Oh, that's good. I didn't know that.
Yeah, congratulations.
Nice. Thanks.
Yeah.
And I agree. I also love that series.
Thank
and
you.
I love, you know, when folks will put on for folks who don't have that backing, in part because of finances, in part because of, you know, these
100%.
These you know, come and go ideas of popularity and
yep.
so yeah, I
but,
you know.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are getting
because
yeah, we have
sorry.
Snacks for you
yes.
in the corner. Our guests in the Corner Store are going to get snacked up.
Oh, okay.
Just out the gate. I've never seen this before, but Canada Dry is coming out with a ginger ale and lemonade. I thought maybe for the summer you might enjoy
you're really
that.
Really in the ginger ale tip today.
Wow.
I know, yeah, really. Ginger ale.
I knew that I was going to have great conversation here. I didn't expect ginger ale and lemonade.
One doesn't rarely expect it, but you maybe imagine coming in the Corner Store, you might receive some Flaming Hot Ruffles.
Oh,
so, I mean,
you guys are far too kind.
Yeah, be careful because you're wearing a very nice white shirt.
Yeah, I might table these for later.
Yeah, I have a bag for you if you wish. Also, this is from our aspirational sponsor. We don't have a sponsorship yet, but from RX Bar, you do have the blueberry flavor: 3 egg whites, 6 almonds, 4 cashews, 2 dates. No BS. This is for you.
Well, I hope they come through. RX Bar.
Yeah. Chicago brand.
Yeah.
No BS.
At one
no
time.
BS. Yeah. At one, evidently, they were just bought for like $6 billion. I'm not sure.
That could be hearsay.
Reportedly.
Okay.
Fake news. I don't know.
If that's the case, they might have a billion to spare on a
is what I'm thinking.
Right?
Sponsorship.
That's what I'm saying.
Hella aspirational.
Right. But anyway, man, welcome and thank you for being here. We're gonna go back to go forward. So, okay. Where are you from? Where do you hail from?
So I'm born and raised in Illinois. I was born in Highland Park. I lived a very short period of time in Glenview, Illinois.
Yeah.
And after that, I grew up in Skokie.
Oh, yeah.
Just north of the city.
Where'd you go to high school?
Niles North High School.
Sure.
Yeah. Home of the Vikings.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What are you ethnically, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm Jewish.
Yeah. I figured. I knew. I could, you know.
I could have told
you that. I am as well.
Was it the Highland Park, Glenview, Skokie trifecta?
That's solidified it, but you know, when you walked in, but then I'm viewing you from a profile. I also have handsomely shaped Jewish nose.
Yeah, Jew recognized
Jew. Exactly. Yeah. You feel me?
Over there.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Also Jews and hip hop. We're out here.
Yeah, we have beards, and I don't know. You have a hat on. I don't have any hair.
Yeah,
there you go.
Oh, y'all twins.
Yeah,
yeah. Wear your glasses.
That's the
my
outfit.
Brother. Yeah, exactly. Facts.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So good.
So moving on.
Yeah. Grew up.
No, it's all right. You can step out.
I can leave now.
Yeah. No, please stay.
Yeah. Please stay. Because
grew up in Skokie. Went to Illinois State University for college. Got a degree in mass communication with an emphasis on radio broadcasting and journalism. After I graduated from school, I lived in Rogers Park, which was close by to my parents. And then over the last 6 years, I met my wife. We lived together, and 2 years ago we bought a house together back in Skokie.
You're in Skokie
now. Circle, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you had a baby. She's so cute.
Oh, yeah.
She's your twin.
She is.
Really?
She is. She looks exactly like him.
Yeah.
How old now?
She just passed the 1.5 year marker. Shout out to Zoe.
And the Z.
Yeah.
Okay.
ZZ.
Cute.
And, she. I mean, I'm probably going to get too far forward here.
Yeah.
This is your fault for bringing her up.
I know, but she's so cute.
Whenever you bring up someone's kid,
we're going to look at pictures for the next
30
minutes.
Y'all can't see them, but like we're looking at the cutest pictures in the world, you know?
No, she really is.
Yeah.
It's amazing because when you work in any field where you put in 60 to 80 hours a week, it's really hard to step away from work because you're always connected, especially when you work on the internet. There's really no break.
Yeah.
It's not a restaurant. It's not a store. There's no hours of operation. You don't get to leave at 5 o'clock and resume your next work day at 9 o'clock. So to be able to have her as a distraction to step away from work when it just mentally I need a break is probably the best thing that's happened to me over the last 15 years.
Wow.
But I probably wasn't ready to be a father anytime before I became one, and so it definitely happened at the right time.
That's great.
Thank you.
Well, we'll get to the totality.
Okay.
but I am interested in going back and just kind of when does hip hop enter your life? You know, especially given your white Jewish kid.
Yeah. Right.
When you north burbs.
Right.
Proximity to the city, but
yes.
City adjacent. So, yeah, how does it come to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, growing up in Skokie, neighboring Evanston, and being 15 minutes north of Chicago.
And shout out to Yellow Line, right?
I was in the city all the time.
Yeah,
I mean, just to take the Yellow Line to Howard and then hop on the Red Line, you're in the city in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Unlike a lot of the kids that I grew up with who were very sheltered, who only hung out with other Jewish kids, my parents sent me to public camps. They encouraged me to take music classes and cultural classes and dance classes and arts classes and theater classes. And I did circus camp 1 year, guys.
Wow.
I can't believe I just admitted that.
Sorry. My dad was in the circus.
Can you juggle? Can you do something?
At one point, I could.
Oh, okay.
Probably for like a week. And then I stopped doing it.
Move on to the next one.
And that was it. Jack of all trades, truly a master of none. I was influenced by the proximity to the city. My uncle, Mark, is an extremely talented musician. He plays flute and a plethora of other instruments. My parents, growing up, were huge into music, very influenced by Motown and soul music. Grew up listening to the Jackson 5 and the Four Tops and the Temptations and Aretha. And it was just such a natural transition for me to jump into hip-hop. Plus, I think, and Kevin, you probably, you know, we have that connection. There's just some sort of like unspoken bond between, you know, growing up a white Jewish kid in the suburbs and the hip hop culture. It was just, there's something indescribable and so cool about it. And I needed to be a part of what was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And for you, what was that? What were the first few records, films? I mean, would you, you know, how did you get it from the Anita Baker record or whatever?
Right.
To, you know, what? How did you come in?
Well, I mean, you know, growing up Jewish, you attend bar and bat mitzvahs, which are the
wildest social time
school parties ever. And I remember being approached by several of the DJs who worked at some of these entertainment companies who would host these bar and bat mitzvah parties about being like a hype man or a dancer and an MC for
them. Oh, wow.
Them.
Okay.
Wait, but why?
Because I have so much energy.
Oh, you did.
Because I was like taking over these parties and they were like, they paid us to do what you're doing for free. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Secure the bag.
At 13?
Yeah. But I mean, I just, you know, you start getting exposed to all of this and you love it so much. And so, yeah, naturally, I started listening to Tupac and the Tribe Called Quest and Rakim and Nas and the Beastie Boys. And
were they playing any of the stuff at the farm? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because I mean,
I've been to one, so I don't, you know, well, I've been to one. Seen more in movies.
I don't know any 13-year-old Jewish boys, but, you know, when my daughter's older and she has some friends, I'll invite you.
Okay, great.
Thanks. Yeah, that just guaranteed us 14 more years of friendship. Right.
That's good. That's good.
For the long haul.
Yeah. No, it was so natural to me. Partly because, as my wife would say, I have rhythm.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I have as much rhythm.
But you could dance, though.
Yeah. Although I will say, guys, I did take 2 weeks of break dancing lessons once.
Hey.
And the I know I'm not, I hate when people say this. I swear I'm telling you the truth because like that would emphasize that they're lying to you every other time. But I swear to you, the dance instructor told me, you know, like I admire your effort. You know, I don't know that you're cut out for this. Like break dancing's not for everybody. And it's true, like, you need an inordinate amount of upper body strength to really excel at this. And at the time that I was taking these classes, I had none. And so I gave up on that, not disheartened about it at all. But, yeah, in a different lifetime, I was a B-boy.
You could do a little, what's it called?
Six-step. Top rock.
Up rock.
Nice. All right. So were your parents artists? They seem very encouraging of you exploring, you know, these creative interests.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, just like most parents who are currently in their 60s, they, you know, I'm sure they did some drugs back in the day. You know, they grew up during the hippie phase.
You've never had that conversation with them?
Yeah. I mean, my dad will talk about like the one time where he took some sort of hallucinogen and like tripped out, but he just tells the same story over and
allegedly.
Over. Yeah, my mom played guitar. I don't think I think he played clarinet, but I'm not gonna give him props for influencing me in that way.
Okay,
because
you don't play the clarinet.
No, I don't. I played trumpet.
Hey,
I played trumpet for 3 years. I wanted to play drums, but they didn't want drums in the house. Yeah. So
did you rap?
I was out. I did rap, yeah. I would put on my Bulls champion my champion Bulls jerseys and a bandana, and I would come out with my fake microphone during Mother's Day, Father's Day, Rosh Hashanah, Thanksgiving.
Hey.
Drop some raps on like Judaism.
Oh, yeah.
Throw on everything.
Yeah,
what
on everything. I needed to be the center of attention, which probably doesn't surprise anybody in this room.
Are you Leo?
I'm a Taurus. Yeah, but I don't believe in that astrology shit.
Random salt.
Yeah. But I think what it is my, I remember my mom specifically saying to me, she goes, you know, I don't know, you could be whatever you want to be growing up, but if you can find someone who's willing to pay you to talk, that's amazing because you've been doing it for free your whole life. And I was like, that's amazing. That's a great idea. And then my father was like, whatever you do is fine, just don't get into insurance. Because he's in insurance. He's like, be whatever you want to be in this entire world.
My life is a cautionary tale, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And did your mom, what does your mom do? What did she do?
So growing up, my mom was a special ed teacher. Like I said, my father in insurance. I thought I wanted to be a doctor for a very brief period of time growing up. And then I saw a few people bleed and I was like, not for me.
Yeah.
More idealistic.
Yeah. Romantic. I mean, I was an athlete for a period of time. And by athlete, I like with like the air quotes. I played baseball and I played basketball. I screwed my knee up in high school playing intramural football. Got tackled, tore my MCL, PCL, fractured my kneecap, dislocated my knee.
Damn.
That sucks.
It sucks. And it was very, very painful. But, you know, I believe in what isn't apparent at any given moment. Really crystallizes down the line. It was impossible at the time for me to understand the ramifications of such a severe knee injury. But as a result of hurting my knee, I stopped playing sports in high school, but I didn't want to do nothing. I couldn't just go home after school. And what hurting my knee did was it gave me the opportunity to explore other avenues. And so I did debate and I did, I worked at the television station at my high school, and I started emceeing pep rallies, and I started emceeing award shows, and I got involved in all these other forms of communication. And that's what indirectly led me to become interested in doing communications, which is what led me to radio, which is what led me to what I do professionally now.
But were you writing at any point?
Writing what?
Anything.
Anything.
No, I was really just talking.
Mm-hmm.
I was writing in my head and then just saying it immediately.
Right. All right. Well, let's follow that trajectory because okay. I mean,
yeah,
you
have like a DJ. I mean, yeah, I knew you were on the DJ or you were a DJ, but like you have that voice.
It used to be better.
No, it was pretty good.
Or I was going to say, I thought maybe like play by play for sports or something like that, especially after the injury. But yeah, I mean,
yeah.
So you start to head in this direction,
right?
You go to school for it,
right?
You went to college,
Illinois State. Yep.
And what was happening there for you in terms of following this, you know, this trajectory?
First weekend of college, I found out about the student-run radio station, which is WZND, and they operate out of a building called Fell Hall, and Fell Hall is also where the television station is housed. So I literally got done unpacking, you know, my popcorn and Nutri-Grain bars and making my bed and setting up my computer. And I went right over to Fell Hall and I introduced myself to everybody at the television station and the radio station. And I said, you know, my name's Brian Zisuk. I did television in high school. You know, just tell me what I need to do to get involved immediately. And the woman who ran the television station said, you know, I love your enthusiasm, but, you know, these opportunities are really only for juniors and seniors. And so, you know, just take a few television courses, you know, bide your time, and we'll give you an opportunity down the line. And I thought to myself, like, I'm not going to just do nothing for 2 years. So I left the television station, walked down the hall to the radio station, and I did the exact same spiel. And I was like, I did television in high school. I really want to get involved. Like, tell me, what do I need to do? And the guy who I spoke to was the music director for the station. And he said, he goes, are you serious? You'll do anything? And I said, yeah. Anything. And he said, the DJ that I have on schedule, who normally does the 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. shift on Sunday morning, called in sick. Do you want it? And I didn't even think about that I was committing myself to 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. the Sunday morning of my first weekend of college, right? That Saturday should have been, you know, my indoctrination into the college lifestyle, going out and getting, you know,
until
six.
Yeah.
And I was like, done. So while all my friends were going out the first Saturday of college, I went to bed at like 9 o'clock on Saturday because I knew that I had to set an alarm for 1:30 to get up for my 2 o'clock shift. So I did 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock the first Sunday of my first week of college. After like 2 or 3 weeks of doing the same 2 to 6, because that guy who was sick that weekend, yeah, he never came back. So they graduated.
Did he die? Was he okay?
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
We don't know.
He never came back.
Cut it.
I got the promotion from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Saturday night.
Oh, your freshman year?
My freshman year.
Wow.
Yeah, so Saturday nights for my first semester of college.
Wow, prime time.
Yeah. And shortly thereafter, I met another communications major by the name of Rod Lake. His on-air name was Suave.
Rico Suave?
Yeah, sure, yeah. Spelled the same way and just as smooth. Black guy from St. Louis, and we connected in a way that worked on so many levels. Here you have you have me who comes from a more suburban background, white Jewish guy, and then Rod is definitely more city, definitely more hip hop than I was. And we just connected in such an incredible way, sort of like Mike and Tony on Pardon the Eruption on ESPN, different backgrounds, you know, white Jewish guy, black guy. And we co-hosted the Saturday night party from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. every week. That was our show. And we actually got nominated for Illinois Broadcasters Association Awards 3 years in a row.
Wow.
And College Broadcasters Incorporated Awards 2 years in a row. We didn't win any of them, guys. We lost all five.
Hey, look, you got to learn how to take an L.
Yeah. But also, builds character, right? Yeah.
But it didn't matter to us because it gave us the opportunity to talk about rap for 3 hours every weekend. Yeah.
Well, and that's an incredible experience, too.
It was incredible.
Kevin. Early. Right.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Where do you hit?
So we did a lot of interviews on the show. And
live, recorded, both?
Both.
Yeah.
What was your first interview?
My first interview was with a rapper by the name of King Gordy from Detroit. He was actually a guest star in 8 Mile, Eminem's movie. We interviewed Chameleon Air, Rick Ross, T-Pain, Bone Thugs and Harmony. Yeah.
When they would
Akon,
come through campus or because you were also reaching out?
And when they were on campus for shows. And that was actually the impetus behind my next career move, because at the time we were recording these interviews or they were phoning in, they would air and then that would be it. And I thought to myself, this is great content. No one's hearing it. This predates SoundCloud. This predates AudioMac. This predates YouTube as being a platform that's more than like cat videos, right? And so I needed to figure out a way to get my interviews heard on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no idea how to build a website. I wasn't a coding guy, none of that.
What year are we talking?
This is 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
So I'm not kidding. I went to the library. I checked out a bunch of books. I thought to myself, I'm going to teach myself how to do this.
But what was like the thought? Were you seeing like other websites that had content like that, or you just were?
There
like,
were a few hip hop websites that I followed. I mean, at that time there was a website called HipHopGame.com that posted a lot of streaming audio. Hip Hop DX was around at that time, and there were a few other sites that I went to, but none that were actually streaming artist interviews. Most of the sites that had interviews were written transcribed. And so, yeah, I went to the library, checked out the books, and, I couldn't do it, guys. I mean, like, I'm just my brain doesn't work in a mathematical coding way, and it didn't matter how many books I checked out. It wasn't not going to happen. And so part of being a DJ at that time, we would send our charts of the music that we played every week on our show around to other DJs. So that we could swap and see what other schools were playing at what station. And there was a website, djbooth.net, and it was a DJ-only oriented site. Headphone, turntable, mixer reviews, DJ playlists, tutorials, that was it. And I said, I thought to myself, there's some potential here. And so I found the contact us section. I emailed the name and I said, hey, my name's Brian. I go to Illinois State University. I'm doing artist interviews. I love hip hop. I try to build a website. I failed. You seem to have a fully functioning website. I would love to produce content for your site, and I want no money. Just give me the keys to the car.
Wow.
And 10 minutes later, I got an email back and from a gentleman named Dave, who's my business partner.
Oh,
now.
Dave Mackley?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And Dave said, what's your number? Let me give you a call. And I thought, it worked. And so he called me. I pitched him on reformatting DJ Booth as it stood at the time, which was, again, a DJ-only oriented site, so very small niche, and expanding it into song reviews, album reviews, artist interviews, and news briefs. And he said, I love it. Let's do it. And so he reformatted the site and gave me the opportunity to start creating content on it.
While you're still in college.
While I'm still in school.
Yeah.
What, 2005, 2004?
So, yeah. So the beginning of 2005.
Okay.
Is when I started producing content on it. I graduated from Illinois State in 2006. And when I finished up school, I got a radio job right out of school at 9FM, a now defunct Chicago station. I did morning show radio as a producer for 8 months. So that's up every day at 3 o'clock, out the door at 3:30, 4 a.m. to noon.
Damn.
It is as awful as you're picturing in your head.
Yeah.
The worst, guys, is... driving to work, people are leaving bars and clubs.
Yeah.
They're ending their night.
Yeah.
I feel like,
and you're
yeah.
beginning
like
the day.
My youth,
our producer.
Goodbye.
Doesn't Kashera get out up at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, radio, I mean, radio is tough.
I know.
You know, in that way, especially when you're trying to really break into that business.
Oh, no, it was awful. And the station didn't have a lot of money. And in addition to doing morning show production, they wanted to send me out on remotes. And they wanted me to drive the van and help the intern dress up in the gorilla costume.
Aww.
And look, you know, there were two groups of people who I knew in the radio field. The ones who were willing to work out of a smaller market, literally sleep in their back seat, you know, the eat baked beans out of the can type of guy or girl.
Yeah.
I just realized after 8 months that wasn't me.
Yeah.
And so I called up Dave. At this point, I'd been working with him. I'd never met him in person.
Where did Dave live?
He lives in New York.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I literally connected with this guy on the internet. I'm producing content for his website. He's PayPaling me $50 a month. And I said to him, I go, what do you think about me doing this full time? And he's like, I mean, I'm not leaving my job to do this, but... if you want to do it, sure. So I said, yeah, why not? I don't have kids. I have no financial responsibility to anybody else. I'm 23. If this doesn't work out, whatever.
But when you made that choice or when you proposed that, your vision was to do what?
To turn it into a full-scale online music magazine.
Mm-hmm.
To
any models that you were looking at that point?
Yeah, right. What were your reference?
None.
Okay, so yeah.
Really?
Just, yeah.
Not magazines even?
No, I was very disheartened with the direction that some of the legacy publications had taken.
We're talking The Source.
We're talking The Source, XXL, Vibe.
Yeah.
But even then?
Even then.
Yeah.
Well, The Source, at pretty much around that time, I think, really started to break like your heart.
There was a shift, right? And it was clear that the shift was happening in that they knew that celebrity fodder was picking up steam. And again, this predates all of social media, save for Facebook. And at the time, Facebook wasn't then what it is now.
Yeah.
And this is a few years before kind of... in some ways, like the golden era of hip hop blogs, even.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well before that.
Yeah,
yeah. Well before that. I mean, this is pre Barack Obama,
right.
First term presidency.
And this is before Fake Short Drive. This is before Ruby.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But even because I'm like I mean I really I really, you know, think fondly of the times of when Na Wright was like super popping.
Oh yeah,
and then
and all those like kind of little blogs like that too.
Yeah, and then later you had like Two level. Dope Boys and everything. But yeah, Na Wright was like, I always felt like that was my one of my central sources.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
In part because they did such a good job of posting, reposting, and then giving credit to some of those other smaller
Absolutely.
And maybe localized or regional blogs that were putting on for local culture, even before Andrew and Alex made Shit in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So this is before that, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, SK was operating, I want to say, in lockstep with what we were doing, but the difference really is, you know, the curation that Na Wright did extended beyond just song reviews and album reviews. They didn't really do long form content. It was very quick hitter,
aggregated.
Small blurbs, lots of links, lots of embeds,
lots of streams, lots of downloads.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, being a part of their blog roll was a really big deal back in the day. You know. Our emphasis was not on really aggregating content so much as it was creating original content,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is what our bag has really always been.
Journalistic in that regard.
100%.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, but so from the beginning, it was really heavily opinion-based?
So from the very beginning, we wanted to find our own voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that at the very beginning the opinions were as overt as they are now.
Yeah.
But that's part of just a result of the changing tide in the state of journalism.
It's the only blog that does that.
I think
so. The way
so.
It does that.
We reached a point, and we're obviously skipping forward, but that's fine. We can always go back. People now, they want to know what you think about something. They don't want to just be told what's happening. Because mm-hmm. the reality is social media negated the need for people to click through to read news. You can get your news in 140 characters or whatever their character limit is now. You have to give someone an incentive to click through, and by offering a unique opinion or approaching a topic differently than everybody else, you're giving them that.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, because we are a little ahead, but because I also want to ask I want to ask a million things, but so you made this jump mm-hmm. into going full time.
Yep.
Were you how long before it paid off, I guess?
So after I made the jump, I was living off of savings, and I had help from my parents. I know a lot of people who've had help from their parents who
won't claim that shit.
Yeah, they don't want to, especially being a white guy, right? I mean, you know, white privilege is something that it's easy to be embarrassed by. I own it, and I thank my parents for being wonderful and giving me the opportunity to have their support. Because, I mean, at the time, I was lucky if I could make $500 a month.
Well, also that they would support that vision. I'm sure that they had some questions for you.
My dad was just like, as long as this is an insurance, we're good.
That's awesome.
Wow. I know. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Because when I told my moms I wanted to be a hip-hop poet, she slapped the shit out of me. So I'm glad
your mom and I need to have a conversation.
Yeah. She's on it now. She's on it now.
Okay, good.
I would have laughed too. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't really making much money at the time. But within about a year or so of me doing this full-time, and we're talking like 80 hours a week full-time, we got up to about 6 million page views a month, eventually reaching 8 million page views a month within a year and a half.
And you had like the ad revenue?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And guys, this was before companies really understood.
Right, how to monetize any
right.
of that. Yeah.
And so they were just like, companies were just throwing money out without really any sense of how to track whether or not that investment was actually paying dividends. And this was as print and television revenue was declining, and internet revenue was on the up and up. This is before Facebook and Google basically took ownership of 90% of the internet.
Yeah.
And so we were starting to do very well. Dave quit his full-time job. We hired a full-time managing editor.
All within this first year.
All within about a year and a half's time.
Damn, yeah.
we had our managing editor by the name of Nathan Slavik, who was with us for, I want to say, 8 years. We started hiring writers. We had a music editor. And so we were able to expand really quickly. And the entire time, I honestly couldn't even believe all of this was happening, because in the back of my mind, I always thought, let me do this full time. Let me get some notoriety. Hopefully some people will hear my interviews or read my articles, and then like some website that's much bigger or some magazine or some newspaper or some television station will want to hire me. Like
right.
DJ Booth
so
was
stepping stone.
DJ Booth was supposed to be a stepping stone to like the next thing. Mm. And it I don't want to say it never became that, because that would insinuate that it never gave me that opportunity, but I never needed to look elsewhere because it was the thing.
Yeah,
it slowly
well, you all made it. You all made it the thing.
Yes.
So, I mean, we can jump forward because there's so much in your story that I kind of want to ask about. But
sure.
Essentially, where are you at now with the platform? I mean, how many writers? How many posts daily? How many page views? You know, where are you at with where DJ Booth is right now? I mean, you have illustrious writers like Tarmod David on the site, you know what I mean? It's like clearly you all are popping, you know?
Of course. So this year we celebrated 15 years.
Wow, man. Salutes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Our current incarnation, I am our editor-in-chief. Underneath myself is Brennan Varan, who operates out of our New York office in Soho. We share an office with our sister site, audiomac.com. And then we have two full-time writers, senior writers, Yo.
Love that dude.
Who is from Atlanta.
So thoughtful. I know, yeah. It was honestly like one of the best conversations I've had probably in my life.
He's one of the most transcendent voices in our space.
Yeah.
He has such a wonderful mind and perspective. And he is so wise beyond his years. Yo was working at Olive Garden, and
I remember
he was
reading that story.
Writing about hip hop on I forget the blog, and Nathan, our former managing editor, connected with him during A3C in Atlanta. DJ Booth hosted a showcase 1 year, and the two of them connected, and Yo was like, I hate working at Olive Garden. I love hip hop. And so Yo started writing a few articles for free for us. And I was just blown away. I was like, this guy is incredible.
Yeah.
And so we said, look, you know, we want to pay you for your work and we want you to quit Olive Garden.
Olive Garden. Yeah.
And so, yeah, he did. And so he's been with us.
Yeah, Pen Game also crazy.
I mean, crazy.
Yeah, so dope. Okay.
He's been with us for 5 years now.
Great.
You're
going to say the second full-time editor.
Yeah, Donna, who she's from the East Coast, Jersey, Philly area. She was a freelancer who started writing for us, I want to say, last July, and she proved herself to be just incredible with the pen, super on point, different perspective, and we brought her on board in a full-time capacity as well. We have about 25 freelancers who work for us, and the difference in now and back in the day is back in the day we had four voices, all of them men. That doesn't work.
Yeah,
it didn't allow us to truly discuss every topic in and around hip hop and hip hop culture from the vantage point that it necessitated. And so, as we expanded, we were fortunate enough to pick up voices and perspectives from men and women, Midwest representatives. We have writers in Chicago, of course, but then we also have people located in New York and in Philly and in Jersey and in Miami and Austin and Dallas and in the Bay Area and Los Angeles. I have two writers in England, and we check every box, guys. White, black, Hispanic, Asian, gay, straight, Jewish, Christian, Muslim.
Hindu.
Hey.
I mean, hip-hop is a universal language, and it speaks to everybody. but it speaks to everybody differently. And so being able to have all of these different perspectives based on how old you are, where you grew up, what your skin color is, what your religious affiliation is, how you see yourself, and how hip-hop helped you in your story, I feel like we are the only platform that offers that that diverse voice.
Well, and you guys seem to... I'm sorry, Tara, go ahead.
Oh, no, you just really also connect the... I mean, not even, and this is like such a small detail, but even you tag the writer in the tweet, you know? And that is obviously...
It's by design.
Right, no, and it makes sense because obviously the writer is writing about themselves from their perspective.
Right.
And then again, you know, I guess you reinforce that by tagging them.
It's not just reinforcing it by tagging them. It's, I want people to connect with the people who are voicing these articles. It is so important to me that the people who enjoy our platform connect with the voices on our platform, because now more than ever, people don't really like connecting with brands, but people love connecting with people.
People, yeah.
And so, you know, I'll give Yo as an example. You know, he's developed such a cult following that he can write about anything now and people will click if they see his name attached. And that's my mission for everybody who has a byline on our site. I want people to don't even bother looking at what the headline is or the topic. If you love someone because you connected with their writing, it doesn't matter what the topic is. Oh, Tara's new Under 1K is out. I have to click. I have to see what she had to say. I have to see these new artists that she wants to introduce. And without introducing the voice behind that article, that's lost.
Yeah. And I've done that. I've read articles and followed a writer based off the strength of their writing.
Yeah.
In part because it was also right there in the tweet where I was just like... But yeah. it seems like you guys want that. You guys want perspective.
Yes.
You want opinion. I mean,
yes.
You're the voice of... The platform is highly
opinionated. I mean, it hinges on that. You know?
Yeah.
Which wouldn't it be what it is without it.
But it's different than some of the other platforms that, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look, going to school, they tell you, don't put yourself in the story.
Right.
Never put yourself in the
That's
story.
That's why when I started writing for you, I was like, oh, this is weird.
I remember we had a conversation about it.
I wasn't used to it, yeah.
And I told you, don't be afraid to put yourself in the story. And it is so frowned upon. Because, you know, for instance, right? So you have an artist that releases an acclaimed piece of work. For instance, Chance the Rapper's coloring book is Grammy Award winning. Connects with people in a variety of ways. So going to school, you're instructed to write about this piece of music that connects with you in such an incredible way, but not mention how it connects with you in this incredible way, but just talk about how incredible it is. Music doesn't operate that way.
Yeah.
Like, that's how we all connect with music.
Personally.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when someone says, oh, well, you know, your feature is bias, I go, like, what does that even mean, right? Like, music is subjective.
Yeah.
It's not math, right? This is music.
Yeah.
And so to be able to properly write about it, I encourage my writers to put themselves in the story.
And you yourself are very prolific.
Stop.
No, I mean today you have to feel like you posted like 85 articles just yourself. I mean, how often are you writing for the site?
Not as much as I used to.
Yeah.
Because I now am more concerned with oversight and managing our managing editor and the writers underneath us. And those are two really different hats, right? And so to be able to oversee and manage and also have the bandwidth to also write myself is very difficult.
But do you miss writing?
Sometimes. Sometimes I do. There are a lot... I don't miss writing short form because that's so secondary. It's so second nature to me. But I would love to write more long form. I just don't have the time.
Yeah.
And I have so many talented writers who I work with that I entrust to touch on the topics that I know I would want to touch on, that I don't feel like there's a void by me not writing it myself. There's just not enough time in the day, honestly. But my voice is heard through the edits that I make to the writing that is presented. I feel like I do. I mean, I edit your work too.
Yeah.
Do I do right by you?
Yeah.
Okay. So I do my job.
Okay. Well, all right. So I want to ask you about some things that are in your bio, which is also a really great
notes.
And hilarious
you really
bio.
Do take
okay.
Notes,
well, no, but this bio is also like incredible, and I just there's yeah. some. I feel like there are some narratives.
I
that
wonder
we
which
should,
bio
we should get to.
Okay. Yeah. Which bio?
Well, it just says career highlights include.
Okay.
Exchanging emails with Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's a great story.
So yeah. So what?
So when I was a junior in college, that was when Paris Hilton's sidekick got hacked. You guys remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of her contact list right. got posted to the internet. And so I rummaged through it.
Yeah.
I found all the names of the artists that I wanted to interview at the radio station, and I started emailing them one after another. And so I emailed Jay-Z.
That's awesome.
And I got an email back, and I asked him, I said, look, this was in January. I said, next, 15.
Okay.
Oh, I wow. said, oh, no, excuse me, 05.
05.
05.
Okay, yeah.
05.
Okay. Okay, I was like, yeah, damn.
Yeah, no, this was January of 05 because yeah. I was in school.
But is Jay even checking his email in,
oh, yeah.
in 05?
Is this his personal oh, yeah. email?
Yes, personal email.
That's amazing. Jay don't check his emails now. No,
no
way.
More.
Yeah,
I know,
no
that's what he said 2015. I was like,
no, no, no.
Jay,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I swear this is just iced tea that I'm drinking. So I sent him an email and I said, I kissed his ass and I told him how much of a fan I am. And I mentioned that in February, in honor of Black History Month, that we had an interview set with Afeni Shakur, rest in peace. And I said, we would love to schedule an interview with you to coincide with our scheduled interview with Afeni to talk about your impact in hip hop. And so he emailed me back and he said, I'd love to do an interview with you. And I was like, oh, my, holy shit. So I emailed him back with a list of like 6 or 7 time slots where we could schedule the interview. And he hit me back and he said, I'll do it for $5,000.
Oh, shit.
And I said, I am a broke college student. I am a day camp counselor during my summer breaks. I said, the best offer I can give you is free. What do you say?
No response.
No, he responded with something like nah. Or nah. And yeah. But I printed out the email exchange.
Yeah.
And it's laminated in a file folder somewhere.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it says also you smoked a cigar with Be Real at the Playboy Mansion?
I did, yeah. this was in...
Before you married?
Before I was married, yeah.
This just was like, kidding, not trying to this put was you on
wow. This was 2007 or 2008.
Before he was married.
EA Sports, the video game company, held an event at the Playboy Mansion, and Cypress Hill was the headlining act. They threw a concert in the backyard, and so I had reached out to Cypress Hill's management and got them to agree to do a video interview on site, and that got us access to the Playboy Mansion. So I've been to the White House and the Playboy Mansion, which are the two most famous residences in the United States. So check and
wow.
check.
Yeah.
And I got to hang out backstage with Be Real. And
not just tobacco and those cigars, I'm imagining, if it's Cypress Hill.
Oh, I thought maybe it was a Cuban.
No comment.
Okay. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah.
Oh, so it says cigar in the bio, though.
It does. Yeah. It should contain some quotation marks.
Yeah, the better story actually, Kevin, from that evening was we did the red carpet at the Playboy Mansion before the event started, and each outlet had a place card on the red carpet, and ours was at the very beginning because at the time DJ Booth certainly was not in line with like Entertainment Weekly or Access Hollywood or any of the other Los Angeles-based outlets who were present. And Exhibit, who at the time was doing Pimp My Ride,
oh, yeah.
showed up. And, I had already interviewed a million artists. And when I did radio for a very brief time, I covered one season of Chicago Bear home games. I was in the locker room. I interviewed athletes. I never got starstruck. So Exhibit came up, and I approached him with confidence to do an interview, and he completely blew me off. And I was there with my managing editor, Nathan, and I was like, thanks a lot, jerk, or something like that. And he overheard, and he gave me a really, really dirty look. And then when we were backstage with Be Real, X came backstage to like dap him up, and he saw me there interviewing Be Real, and it was like, oh, shit, like this is the guy I blew off on the red carpet. So that was sort of an awkward turn comfortable exchange. And then I did end up interviewing Exhibit backstage after Be Real. But yeah, nice. That's that story.
Well, it seems like you are also a giant Outkast fan.
Oh my God, yes.
It says that you watched Big Boy record at Stankonia.
I did, yeah.
That must have been
incredible.
I mean, yeah.
So we were down in Atlanta for A3C, and we got the chance to basically just spend an entire day at Stankonia. And
wow.
You know, for those of you listening who have this perception of like what happens at a recording studio, for most of the time, nothing.
Yeah.
Like you're just sitting
really
there,
not interesting.
And nothing is happening because. And obviously it's different depending on the artist and the producer. In this instance, you know, this is his studio, right?
Right.
And so unlike artists who are paying for studio time, who
about
are trying to maximize the investment that they're making in their recording session, you know, this is his place. And so he can afford, because he's not paying someone by the hour, to sit around and smoke a J and watch ESPN highlights until he has a burst of creativity and he jumps in the studio. And so just being able to sit around and talk leisurely.
Yeah. Smoke some more nice. Cigars.
Smoke some cigars. Right. Drink
quote, unquote.
Drink some apple juice.
Yes.
Yeah, quote, I mean, it was a glimpse into his mind. And just being in that atmosphere was sort of surreal. Growing up listening to Outkast and knowing that so much of their material had been recorded there.
And it seems like Three Stacks is your
favorite
guy.
If not the GOAT, if not my number one, you know, 1A.
Okay.
1B, you know.
Right.
Yeah, him and Jay are
all right, well,
right there.
Before, I mean, we're going to ask you where folks can find you, and I have a question about how potential writers and also artists might...
oh, wait.
Yeah, go ahead.
Top five dead or alive.
That's the exit, which is where I was going. Yeah, Well, we got the two, okay. Right? We got Three Stacks and Jay.
Yeah. Black Thought.
Yeah.
Of the Roots, who for all intents and purposes, you could make the argument is the living GOAT right now.
Yeah.
As a technician, Tupac was not technically the greatest rap artist, but and I know you'll appreciate this, Kevin. He undeniably a poet.
Oh yeah.
Someone I connected very early on with,
and so, spiritually might be one of the greatest rap artists,
absolutely,
or maybe definitely. The greatest spiritually in that the ethos of the genre,
absolutely. So we'll throw him in there as well, and then I'm hard pressed to name a fifth. Obviously, growing up, huge Tribe fan, so either Fife or Tip, Nas.
Yeah, now we're at 8, 9.
Yeah. We're at like the rotation, like where do I feel like this week?
Yeah, which is fair. Yeah.
But wait, who are the most five artists you're excited about?
Oof. You know what's funny about this question is I have thousands of artists that are always on the tip of my tongue. And whenever someone asks me that question, I'm like,
who are you feeling this week? Yeah.
There's so much talent here in Chicago, guys.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I love what Raven Lane is doing, although he's not, born and raised here. Certainly operates out of here from your hometown,
yes.
Cimino.
Yeah,
I love what he's doing. A Midwest guy who's transplanted, lives in L.A., but from Gary, Indiana, used to call into my radio show every week. Freddie Gibbs,
oh,
who's been
yes.
around the block. Freddie, who I begged every week, don't swear, we're live. And then, of course, he would drop an F-bomb, and I would pray to God that our faculty advisor didn't hear, or else I'd get canned. Who else am I feeling right now?
I mean, that's a strong list. That's a good list. Freddie's got the new joint with Mugs, yeah. 2 and Doom, right?
Yeah.
There,
yes.
Which is a really dope record.
And the cover art, so dope.
Yeah, Kenny Beats did a bunch of records on Freddie's new album. We just did an interview.
Yeah, he's been all over my timeline.
Well, he also did a chunk of the material on O3 Greedo's 27 track pre-prison.
Yes, yeah, I need to listen to that in its entirety.
Just so many artists. I hate that you didn't prep me for this question. That's I feel all right. So unprepared.
It's okay. Yeah, sometimes right. I just check my iTunes or whatever.
Yeah.
Apple.
No, you're doing it.
Okay, I have another question.
Saba.
Of course.
The Leon Bridges album this year is incredible. Locksmith and Apollo Brown just dropped an incredible album. I like J-Rock's album.
Yeah, oh, I love it. A lot of people told me they didn't like it, and I was...
Janelle Monáe, Dirty Computer, that album is incredible. Pusha T's Daytona is probably rap album of the year.
Yes, thank you.
Or Fonte, no news is good news.
Yeah.
Also incredible. Just being inundated with music, like I can't imagine what it's like for someone who doesn't do this full time.
Well, then you have to remember, but you have to remember like the regular people, you know, the regular people who don't.
I don't
do this
talk
shit.
To regular people
exactly.
Anymore.
Well, it's so nice you guys to grace us with your.
You're not regular.
I'm joking.
No, you're special, Kyle.
Oh, hey, thanks, guys.
Real special.
I feel better about myself now. Tara, you got one more question.
I know. You got your
outro joints.
So the thing on Twitter today was, should interns be paid?
Right.
And I just want to know your thoughts. But also, where did that come from? Because the person I saw tweeting about most in the beginning was 21 Savage's manager, Key.
She was responding to a viral tweet.
Okay, I think I saw that viral tweet.
There was a thread about how internships in 2018 need to be paid.
Yeah.
And I totally get that. I had several internships while I was in school, and I didn't get paid for any of them.
I thought that was the norm until New York said it wasn't, you know?
You know, I believe that internships are about getting your foot in the door and convincing the people who are investing their time in training you that once they're done with that process, that you're worth keeping around.
Yeah.
Or that you have some skills.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
know. I just like...
I understand that the financial ramifications, especially if it's in a major city, you have to worry about commuting and you have to worry about... paying for lunch and all these
rent if you don't live there.
All these ancillary costs. At the same time, you are getting paid, assuming it's a good internship, in practical experience, connections, and these things are invaluable.
Yeah.
In particular, if you're looking to get an internship in one of these spaces. So new media, the music industry, any field of communications, it's all about who you know.
That's how I'm here. I entered at Complex for free.
All about who you know. I mean, so from 2002, when I started college and I started doing college radio, to 2018. So we're 16 years since I've been in this field. Everything that I've been able to accomplish, other than putting in the blood, sweat, and tears, you know, so to speak, has been because I met someone who knew someone who hooked me up with someone.
Yeah.
You know, it's industry... is less than 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It's 1 degree of Jay-Z, right?
Yeah.
You're one contact away from every opportunity, and you're not going to get that if you don't take opportunities, even if they're unpaid.
Yeah. I think there's... I'm of two minds of it, I guess. One...
It makes sense, but then it...
Well, not everyone could have the luxury of taking an internship that isn't paid because maybe they do have fiscal responsibilities to home. So I understand that. I also feel like, I mean, I interned and I also worked for a dude who had a drug front. You know what I mean? And like that was my way to pay when I wasn't getting paid to get paid to do the internship too. And so I think, you know, I'm of two minds. I mean, I think that there's certainly like the necessity of even an employer to open up positions for interns and maybe not be able to pay.
Agreed.
You know, especially if it's not a giant company.
Agreed.
And at the same time, I feel like everyone should be paid for their labor, or at least be compensated for that lunch. That, you know, but I mean, that's what, you know, interns should also, the city should also be able to provide, you know, free transit or some shit, but whatever. You know, we're not going to figure out.
Yeah, there's a middle ground, right?
Yeah.
And so, if you're not actually being paid for your time as though you're an employee, there's other ways to indirectly compensate someone. And, you know, in the case of like DJ Booth, you know, we have a rotation of interns that we've worked with for years. But unless they're in New York, they work remotely. And so they can work from home or a coffee shop. And so there's no travel required.
Yeah.
You know, they can eat out of the refrigerator.
Right.
Welcome to my life.
All right. So first of all, I guess if would-be writers want to get in touch and maybe one day, you know, write, publish on DJ Booth, what is a viable way to do that?
Email me, djz@djbooth.net.
He's responsive.
I like you.
not that available to.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to write for us, send me a few bylines. If you have not had your work published on another platform, send us a writing sample. You can use a PDF or a Google Doc, or even, you know, copy paste something into the body of the email. Make it easy on me. A pitch should consist of two parts: perspective headline, and then the angle. So that should be three sentences in total. The headline is one sentence. The angle is max two. If you cannot convey to me in three sentences exactly what you want to say and what direction you're going to go in, you need to, you know, remodel that pitch, or that's a telltale sign you should scrap it and pitch something else.
Yo, first of all,
that's good advice though that I've never gotten before.
I also feel like we just paid for people's first year of journalism school.
So, you know, y'all, what I mean? Welcome.
Yeah, all right.
You can hit our, you know, Cash App.
Yeah, for real. And what about artists who might want to have, does it work that way? If an artist wants their music reviewed, or, you know, how do artists get on the platform, if at all?
Right. So, I mean, my email is now out there. So,
I know.
Of course.
A lot of mixtapes coming your way.
If you've already heard it, feel free. You know, at one point, Kevin, our submissions email was getting about 5,000 a month. And that's just songs. Not
that's
albums,
wild.
Mixtapes, EPs, videos, just songs. Those days are over. The height of the blog peak is years past, and so we've transitioned away from posting songs and videos into easily digestible quick hitter news and engaging, thoughtful, entertaining, humorous, informative, long form content. So there really is no place on the site for just songs, but if you want to share your work, I recommend doing so in the form of a full length project. To be able to tell what direction someone's going in artistically on one song or one video is really tough.
Yeah.
I want to hear what you can do, even if it's a four-track EP. And 99% of the time, if we're doing a new music discovery feature, like a meet piece where we introduce an artist, that is based around the release of a project. So that's when people we hope we'll be checking for that artist. And so that's when we want to maximize that feature around that time.
Great. And where can people find you and also DJ Booth on the internet?
So I swear to God, I just joined Twitter personally like 2 months ago.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you. And I really only did that to support my writer's work further.
Because you started DJ Booth at DJ Booth. Right.
Yeah, I mean,
DJ Booth.
People think I am DJ Booth. Like, there's a dude named Booth.
Yeah. One time I tweeted, I was like, oh, you as a person, and somebody responded like, oh, that's like the editor-in-chief? And I'm like,
yeah. Yes. So for everyone listening, there is no one named DJ Booth. That is not a person. It's a platform only. I'm Z. But on Twitter, I'm DJ Booth EIC. We are at DJ Booth on every platform. We engage people on social media.
Definitely.
Right.
We want to create discussion. Every other platform in our space They post content, and that's it. There's no dialogue. There's no engagement. It's very, very impersonal. And so our goal is, as long as you're not being an asshat, is to engage, discuss, and make sure they understand that if they're taking the time to read our content and sharing their opinions and thoughts, as long as they're not being rude about it, that we are listening to what they have to say and we're showing them our appreciation.
Bet. Well, yo, man, thank you so much for being here, for dropping all these gems.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you
for the work
me.
That you do and the platform that DJ Booth provides, not only for artists, but also writers like our good friend Tar Mate.
I've gotten up every day for the last 13 years, and not once have I ever felt like I was going to work. And, you know, I hope this continues for a very long time. Who knows what the landscape of the publishing industry is. You know, ad dollars have dried up. We've been forced to pivot and move some of our resources into video, which has helped us continue to produce high-level editorial content. But being able to immerse myself in this industry, support the art form and the culture that I love so dearly, while also not feeling like I'm going to a job, is an indescribable feeling. And just being able to talk about it with you guys tonight is incredible as well. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
I love what you guys do, and you're putting on for all these talented artists and tastemakers and creatives in the city of Chicago, and really helping to emphasize the importance of uplifting those like-minded individuals who believe in the greater good of the city and the mission of charity and hip hop, and keep on doing a great job.
Salutes, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, real recognize real.
Yo, we want to thank DJ Exist for the beat.
Langston Olsen for the art.
Big ups, Todd Manley at WGN Radio.
And Max and Dami, the Corner Store interns.
Salutes to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
You can keep in tune with the Corner Store at cornerstore_pod on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
Also, you can stream and download the Corner Store wherever you listen to podcasts.
And please rate and subscribe and comment on iTunes.
Please, y'all, consider giving us those 5 stars.
Thank you for listening.
We're going to see you next week.